This morning, of course, we're continuing our series on Matthew. Prayer is a strong tool at our use, right? We should be able to use it. And this morning, we're going to learn how we can better use that, right? So if you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to be in Matthew 7, 7 through 8. And so we will be just on those two verses. I tried to pull everything in. I was talking to Dale Wednesday, and I had something together, and it wasn't working, so I changed course, and it ended up just on these two verses, so we'll get the rest next week, but we're going to focus on those two verses this morning, though. I want to start off with a little bit of a story. So there was a lady named Jean McMahon. I asked Mel how to pronounce her last name. I landed on McMahon, so I doubt that's it, but she wrote in Reader's Digest this. She said, she was attending a church in Kentucky, and she watched an especially verbal and boisterous child being hurried out, slung under his father's arm, right? No one in the congregation paid any attention to it or raised any eyebrows at it until the child captured everyone's attention by crying out in a charming southern accent, okay? So bear with me. I'm going to try to make my mama proud and do my best southern accent, okay? So the boy, in his southern accent, said, "Y'all pray for me now." He was about to get it, right? And I don't have the best southern accent. I was spared from that torture. So we sometimes pray out of desperation, right? We pray out of desperation. When all other options have been tried, we tend to go to God with our last resort, okay? Sometimes it's like the three-year-old boy who went to the grocery store with his mom, right? Before they go in, the mother, like any good mother, tells the little boy, "Now you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, okay? Don't even ask." So she put him in the cart, in the little seat, and she starts doing her shopping, going down the aisles. And you know what? The little boy was doing great until they hit the cookie aisle, right? Until they hit the cookie aisle. He saw the chocolate chip cookies, and he just wanted one so bad. And so he decided to stand up in his seat, and he said, "Mom, can I have a chocolate chip cookie?" And, of course, her reply was, "No, I told you you're not having any chocolate chip cookies. So sit back down, okay?" So he sat back down, and they continued their shopping. And throughout the course of their shopping, trying to find things, they ended up back in the cookie aisle. And the boy, seeing a second opportunity, decided he was going to stand up again and ask his mom if he could please have some chocolate chip cookies. And her reply again was, "No, I told you you're not having any chocolate chip cookies. Sit down and be quiet." Who's ever had to do that with their children, right? Ours don't quite fit in the cart anymore, which is a lot more of a hassle. Yes, they like to push the little ones at Country Mart. So finally, they were approaching the checkout line, okay? And the boy, sensing this would be his last opportunity to make a stance, he stood up in the chair again, and right before they got to the line, he stood up in the seat, and he shouted in his loudest voice, and he said, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" Right? Everybody around laughed. Some even applauded the little boy. And due to generosity of the other shoppers, the little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of cookies. So I think the moral of the story here is you won't receive anything unless you ask, right? And I believe the moral that we can learn to not do here is that the more boisterous the voice is, the more that your prayer will get answered. That's not the case. It may have worked for the little boy, but it's not going to work for you. You don't have to make yourself this grand statement, right? You just have to be real in your prayer. And this morning we're going to dive into what it takes for our prayers to be answered. So join with me in Matthew 7, 7 through 8 this morning. So Matthew 7, 7 through 8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So here we see that what we must do to have our prayers answered. And we're going to find out that we have to pursue God in prayer with humility, priority, and tenacity. Okay? So those are kind of a hint at my 3 points if you are taking notes. So the first thing we have to do, church, is to get our prayers answered we have to ask with humility. Okay? When we pray, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, for everyone who asks receives." Okay? When we pray, we must ask. Okay? There's an action on our part. We have to ask. Now, I want you to notice that the scripture does not say demand and it will be given to you, or command and it will be given to you, or even order or dictate and it would be given to you. No, it doesn't say that. Jesus specifically says ask and it will be given to you. You see, we ask God to meet our needs and our desires. God wants to meet our needs and our desires. Philippians 4:6 says, "In every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God." We have to be grateful for past mercies when asking God for anything. Do you notice the humility it takes to ask for something? You have to have humility to ask. If we can't humble ourselves before God to ask, He is not obligated to answer. Okay? In fact, the Apostle James makes this point in James 4, 2. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Right? Some people think, "Oh, goody, I'll ask for a Ferrari or a mansion or $1 million, right? But he continues on in verse 3. He says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, so you can spend it on your passions." You see, humility is required when asking God for something. When we ask, we need to ask with the mindset of a beggar asking for money. The beggar is totally dependent on the generosity of the givers, right? If he doesn't receive kindness from others, he very well will go hungry. He's dependent on it. When we ask God for anything, we ask completely depending on his generosity. Like the beggar, life is in the hands of other men. Our life, church, is in the hands of God. And we need to know that, okay? If a man can survive off the kindness of others, how much more can we not only survive, but thrive off of the kindness of God? Amen? I've read about a man who was arrested back in 2012, and he was panhandling off I-40 down in Oklahoma City. And he had to pay a fine of $200, okay, for panhandling. Well, in response to this incident, he said that he said that it wasn't a bad price, the $200 fine, considering that he had made $60,000 the previous year just from panhandling, right? I think I'm in the wrong line of work, babe. So if you guys see me over by Country Mart, you'll know what I'm doing. But I mean, even if he only raised half of that, that's still sufficient and still a lot of money for doing nothing more than just asking, right? We have to be willing to ask. And I won't spend a lot of time on this part, but when we're asking, we need to be asking. We don't need to be asking hoping to receive. We need to ask believing that we will receive. You know, there's a difference, hoping and believing, okay? You ask knowing he's going to answer. Matthew 21, 22 says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, if you believe, you will receive." Okay? So it's more than just asking for something and hoping we get it. We need to believe that the Lord wants to give us whatever we're asking for. And I'll get to all the fine details with that here in a minute. But if we're truly wanting our prayers to be answered, then we must ask with humility, church. And we second our prayers with our endeavors, okay? So my second point this morning is that if we want to have our prayers answered, we must seek with priority, okay? Scripture said, "Seek and you will find. And those who seek, finds," right? So it may take humility to ask God, but it takes faith to seek God, okay? You see, God wants us to continually to pursue him. He wants us to. When we look for anything with our eyes, we look with our eyes, right? But when we are seeking God, we seek with our spiritual eyes or our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." If we remember a few weeks ago when we talked about winning over worry, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 that above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Above all, right? You see, churches, if we have faith to seek him, then we must have the desire to seek him first, okay? You see, he has to be a priority. We pursue God and his desires before our own desires, okay? Chasing him with all our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind and strength, and all other things will be allowable, okay? We must seek God with, like we are seeking something that's lost. Who's ever lost something, right? Some people lose things more often than others. I'm not one of those people, unless it's my phone and it's just because I put it somewhere. I don't remember where I put it. And if I just look for it, I'll probably find it. But we all lose things, okay? We seek him like we seek our misplaced cell phones or wallets or car keys, okay? In our day and age, we have to have those things. We need those things, okay? Wherever we can't find them, then there's some panic that sets in, right? We put all other things on hold until we find them, don't we? I know I stop what I'm doing to go find my cell phone sometimes, or I ask Mel to go find it for me. Or if I lost my wallet, I'm terrified, right? I need to find that. We put all other things on hold until we find them. But here we read, above all, pursue his kingdom. Do you notice that when we lose our personal things, that everything else suddenly becomes secondary? You see, when we seek God, he needs to be the priority. He wants us to seek him and put all other things on hold until we find him, right? Everything else should be secondary. I can't stress enough the importance of constant and continuous seeking prayer. We have to seek him when we open our eyes in the morning until we close them again at night. We need to be seeking him throughout our day. Seek him in the morning, noon, and night. Okay? We seek him when we're hard at work, or resting on the couch, or standing at the ball game, or sitting in the church pew. Maybe when you're pumping gas at the gas station. Maybe even when you're just checking out at the grocery store. We need to be seeking him. We need to seek him constantly. We seek him like something that's lost. And we seek him like a treasure hunter searching the ocean for sunken treasure, right? Like the story of the merchant who was seeking costly pearls, and he found the pearl of great price in Matthew 13, 45 through 46. We're not going to look at it, but you see, he found what he was seeking, and then some, okay? Those that love God will seek everywhere they can to find him. You see, their life will be consumed with seeking him. We are seeking God by prayer, the same way an archaeologist seeks an ancient artifact. You see, for them, their pursuit is their passion, and their passion, it defines their life. Okay? But as Christians, our pursuit of God should become our passion. And that passion should define our life, right? It's not just something we do, it is what we do. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you, if you seek me with all your heart and soul." We have to be all in, church. We can't be part of the way in. God must be the priority if we want to find him. And finally, in order to have our prayers answered, we must knock with tenacity. Okay? The scripture says, "Knock and the door will be opened for you, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So, it may take humility to ask God. It may take faith to make seeking God a priority, but it takes persistence to knock on his door, okay? Now, I can't very well go about talking about knocking and not pull out some knock-knock jokes, so you know how the drill goes. I say knock-knock, and you answer, so let's do a couple, okay? So, knock-knock. Dishes. Dishes the day the Lord has made. Right? Knock, knock. Lettuce. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Right? I really tried to find better ones, but I was happy with these. So, and I did not write these, so I can't take credit. But so knocking, right? It's an action. You do it. You knock. Okay? If a person needs something from someone else behind the door, they naturally do what? They knock. Okay? And they don't just knock. They keep knocking until they get what they want. Right? That's what we need to do. A believer should pray in faith persistently until they get an answer from God. Okay? And when they knock, they should knock like someone who wants to be heard. Okay? Not gentle taps. No. But heavy pounding, right? You got to knock with tenacity. We want his attention. We want to get his attention. We have to pray with persistence, don't we? We have to pray with tenacity. We will look at this one. We remember the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, 1 through 8. I have it up on the screen for you so you don't have to go there. But let's look at the parable together. It says this. Then Jesus told them a parable to show them they should always pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. There was also a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but later on he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor have regard for people, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will give her justice, or in the end she will wear me out by her unending pleas.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unrighteous judge says. Won't God give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long to help them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" You see, in this story, she kept on begging and pleading with the wicked judge who didn't care about anybody but himself, right? She brought her case to him continually until she finally wore him out with her incessant petitions. And he gave her the justice that she asked for. Okay? If a wicked man will respond to persistence, then how much more will a good father respond to persistence? Right? It's like when Ralphie, who's from A Christmas Story, who's ever seen A Christmas Story? Anybody? It's one of my faves. It's really high up there on my top Christmas list. But when he wanted his Red Ryder BB gun, he made sure that his parents knew exactly what he wanted, and he found different ways to put it into their head that that's what he wanted, right? That's what he wanted. I lost my spot. Okay. He was persistent in his endeavor to make sure his parents knew that that BB gun is the one thing that he truly wanted. And the point is, that's the point of the parable, is persistence. We have to continually put our request in front of God and be tenacious in doing it, okay? We have to be willing to continue to come back to him. The Lord wants us to pray with tenacity. If you want in the house, church, you have to knock on the door, right? We have to knock. We have to be willing to knock. He not only wants us to knock, but he wants us to keep knocking, okay? As I close this morning, I want us to remember that we are to ask, ask, ask. We're to seek, seek, seek. We're to knock, knock, and knock. And all of this is through prayer, prayer, prayer. We continue to pray, right? It's not a one-time thing and done. I bring it up once. We continue to pray for it until we see an answer to it. Theologian Matthew Henry says this. He says, "Pray, pray often. Pray with sincerity and seriousness. Pray and pray again. Make conscience a prayer and be consistent in it." In short, just keep praying, right? Author Bill Hybels tells about an interesting experience after a baptism service in his church, and he wrote this about it. He said, "I bumped into a woman in the stairwell who was crying. I thought this was a little odd since the service was so joyful. It was such a joyous service. So we asked her if she was all right. She said, 'No, you see, I'm struggling.' She said, 'My mom was baptized today. I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. The reason I'm crying is because I came this close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, I said, 'Who needs this? God isn't listening.' At the 10-year mark, She said, "Why am I wasting my breath?" At the 15-year mark, I said, "This is absurd." At the 19-year mark, I said, "I'm just a fool." But I kept trying. I kept praying. Even with weak faith, I kept praying. Then she gave her life to Christ and she was baptized today. She went on to say, "I will never doubt the power of prayer again," right? That's 20 years of seeking something, right? That's a long time. It takes persistence. Sometimes when we pray, we feel like our prayers, that they're not going past the ceiling or they're not reaching God. So maybe we think we should just stop praying for it. I know that thought's gone through my mind multiple times, right? We stop believing that God cares or that he will act, so we give up. We quit knocking. We quit seeking. And we quit asking. You see, I want you to know this morning that there are never unanswered prayers, okay? There's never unanswered prayers. You see, you may not like the answer, but he's going to answer your prayer eventually, some way. He says yes, or sometimes he says no, right? And sometimes he says wait. But we got to keep asking. We knock on our Father's door like a child who knocks on their parents' door when they come home for Christmas, right? The children expect the parent to be there, and the parents expect the children to be there, right? It's expected. Both parents and child are expecting one another. We request from God the same way a child requests from their father. Why would a good father deny any good thing from his children? The answer is he won't. And he won't ever do that. The key word, though, is good. Okay? You see, if a child asks to play with a sharp knife or a poisonous snake or the barrel of the end of a gun, okay, the father is going to say no, right? I mean, I would say no. God has our good in mind, okay? He can see those things that can hurt or hinder us whenever we're asking for them, and he wisely says no. But if any good thing is prayed for with tenacity and faith, rest assured it will not be denied you, okay? When we pray that unneeded things would drop from our desires, okay? And pray that needed things will enter into our desires, okay? So we're almost praying to help God tell us what to pray for, right? What do I need, okay? Doesn't mean God doesn't want to meet your wants, but he especially wants to meet your needs. Pray that needed things would become desired things. We know that he will give us the desires of our hearts if our will is in line with his, okay? One last quote for you this morning. Missionary E. Stanley Jones, he made an appropriate analogy here. He said, he mentioned that prayer is surrender. And he said this, he said, "Surrender comes on our part, not God's. If we are on a boat and we throw a hook onto the land, right, onto the shore and pull, are we pulling the shore to the boat? No, we're pulling the boat to the shore. Prayer is not about pulling God to our will, okay? It's about aligning our will with the will of God. And that's what we should be doing when we ask, seek, and knock. Okay? We need to be aligning what we want with what God wants. We have to stand on promises, remind God of those promises, church. We'll get the blessings, especially if they align with God. You'll get an answer. You got to stay with it, right? Just keep going. This morning I want to close with a prayer. It's become one of my favorite hymns. And somebody's calling me. It's become one of my hymns. Come, Christians, join us sing. So I invite you to stand with me this morning as we close with this song.